Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
You're listening to White Plains Hospital Health Talk right here on Westchester Talk Radio.
White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day.
Good morning and welcome to Health Talk. I'm Laura Smith and we're at White Plains Hospital and we are produced by Shark Creative. Well, I'm excited to start off the show this morning by speaking with the director of the Department of Emergency Medicine, Dr. Rafael Torres. Good morning to you and thank you so much.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here, Laura.
Yes, I know you've already been here for a few hours and I guess really kind of running the show in the emergency room, so to speak. I can't even imagine the level that you have to operate on a day-to-day basis, on an hour-to-hour basis, being in an emergency room. I mean, I get images of like those hospital shows and chaos and running around, but not so necessarily. It's such a critical part of any hospital, the emergency room. But here at White Plains Hospital, I understand that the emergency department has over 60,000 visits a year. Is this actually true? I mean, this is amazing. And How do you go about overseeing a department that is that prolific and busy?
Well, you know, it takes a team, to be honest with you. It's not just me. I have a great team around me. We are the busiest emergency department in Westchester County at this point, seeing over 60,000 visits last year. And this year, we're on track to see even more than that. And in the 4 years I've been here, we've grown about 20% in volume over that time. So we're growing by leaps and bounds, and we continue to treat patients more efficiently and with a higher quality than ever before.
Is technology affecting emergency rooms and making it easier and all the records becoming more automated and streamlined with technology? Does that play any role in it, or is it really just better management that you have to oversee yourself, Dr. Torres?
I think a lot of it is management. I think a lot of it is processes and getting them streamlined to get the right person to the right provider at the right time. I think technology has a play. And is it, as long as it works within our workflows. And technology can sometimes be a hindrance if you're not careful. EMRs nowadays are more user-friendly than they once were, but they're still a computer. And as probably your listeners know, they can be frustrating sometimes. But, you know, more and more we use them, the more efficient we become.
Absolutely. What makes the emergency department here at White Plains Hospital so unique and actually almost special?
You know, again, it goes back to the team. This emergency department is surrounded by essential services that really do a fantastic job, an exceptional job. Our surgical department, our internal medicine department, our obstetrics and gynecology department, we couldn't do our jobs without them. And I think that's what makes us successful thus far. Technically speaking, we have a very unique emergency department in that it's two floors. There's not many emergency departments around the country that are actually a two-floored emergency department. Mm-hmm. So just the architecture of it is unique, but it really comes back to the team. It's really all those who surround us that that make us special.
So I used to think that there would be like a director, but then there would just be one doctor on call that was there doing all these different modalities, you know, mm-hmm. anything from a broken bone to, you know, an appendix bursting. So you're saying with this team approach that you have specialists from various departments and treatments. So therefore,
we can only do so much. You know, we can certainly take care of your abdominal pain, but if you have an appendicitis, you need a surgeon. And that's where it comes to that team approach. We need those essential services around us to help us complete your care sometimes.
Yes.
And that's where the whole hospital comes in, the whole hospital approach. Even when you leave the emergency department, you need to follow up with some specialist at times or your primary care physician. So having our White Plains Physician Associates, having Scarsdale Medical Group now associated with us, I mean, those essential teams really make us successful and allow patients to get better quicker.
So in terms, Dr. Torres, of the hospital recently implementing a new team-based approach to the care here in the emergency department, you know, tell us specifically what that is and how it's impacting the work and the emergency room and patients itself. What are the specifics of this new team approach?
So it's not a unique concept, but it's unique here to White Plains Hospital. And, you know, the long and short of it is we're streaming patients differently. So patients who don't necessarily need to spend a long time here in the emergency department, we want to get them in, we want to get them better, we want to get them out. So the lower acuity patients may not even reach the main core of the emergency department and may be just seen at triage by a physician, treated there, and turned around and sent home and on their way to get back to their lives. Others may reach the core of the emergency department, but only briefly, so that they can have their cut fixed or their bone set, and then turned around and get on their way. And then those people who are more complex, you know, who require a bed, who require a prolonged length of stay, they're the ones who really they're provided that longer length of stay as needed. But it gets those people who are less acute in and out and better, you know, back to their lives.
When would you say is a time for someone to, say, consider going to urgent care, something like that, as opposed to an emergency room? What are the specific reasons why someone should opt to go into an emergency room situation?
I think a lot of times you know on your own when you're super ill and need an emergency department, and other times when you're ill, sometimes you need reassurance, you need medication that only a physician can prescribe, sore throats, coughs, colds, congestions, minor abdominal pain. Those things are easily taken care of at an urgent care site, which we have in Armonk at this point to provide for the community. And, you know, it's the lower acuity, the things that, hey, I'm not feeling well, I just want to get checked out, I want to make sure I'm okay, and I don't necessarily need the intensity, the environment of an emergency department to treat me. You know, most of the time.
Okay. It's that feeling you get, I better go someplace and all night, because emergency rooms are 24/7, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
24/7, 365 days a year. We're always there for you. I describe us as the availableist. We're always here for you.
Wonderful. The emergency room is such a unique and special environment and situation. And in the country now, I find that I opted to go to the hospital once without an ambulance, against a friend of mine who is a doctor, against his wishes. He said, just get an ambulance, and I was being like, no, I'll be fine, and I drove myself, and it wasn't here. It was at a different hospital, but I waited for hours, and it was at night as well. So, but I saw, you know, big families there, you know, getting care, and there's a big sign that says no one's turned away for anything whatsoever. So I literally waited for hours and hours. So I'm thinking to myself, should I have taken an ambulance? And how do you know, what would be the sort of the determining factor, Dr. Torres, that someone should take when they're determining whether or not they should go in an ambulance or just drive themselves?
Sometimes that question is hard to answer for yourself and for me to answer. I think that first and foremost, you need to use some common sense, okay? So chest pain, shortness of breath, stroke-like symptoms, weakness or numbness or tingling, I think that you really need to call an ambulance and have the professionals pick you up, assess you, and bring you to the hospital, okay?
Okay.
And at other times, there's a lot of gray, and you need to make a decision on your own. So if you're having a lot of pain, if you think you've broken a bone, And you can't drive, and it's unsafe for you to drive, okay, you should really call an ambulance, and that's okay.
Right.
That's okay. You're not going to get it right all the time, and we understand that, and it's, these services are there to help you.
So in general, if you take an ambulance, do you get taken directly to the floor, the triage or something, opposed to the waiting room?
You will more likely be brought straight into the main core of the emergency department to start your care, you know, immediately. There are times when an ambulance will bring in a patient and we have to put them into the waiting room, and we'll bring them through the routine triage process.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my responsibilities as the director of emergency medicine to make either pathway equally efficient. So if you walk in or if you take an ambulance in, both paths are equally efficient to bring you to a provider, a physician, an advanced practice provider, so that you start receiving your care timely and you don't
have
to wait very long.
Very good to know. Really, it's wonderful to know because, I think I would probably take an ambulance again, in the situation that I was in, which was acute appendicitis, which I don't know what I was thinking. However, what would you like to leave us with in terms of an important tip that you would like people to know, patients to know when visiting the emergency department? What are some maybe myths you would like to dispel? What are some maybe protocol that most people don't realize, or just some advice?
You know, it's not like the old show ER, okay? It's not all action-packed every day, every hour. There are mundane times to this job, just like any other job, okay? You see the same thing over and over again. But, I think it's really fulfilling to have a patient come in with a complaint and really get them better quickly and get them on the road to recovery, either in the hospital or back to the community to continue their care. So that's one thing. Another thing is that, bring as much information as you can to us when you come in. All systems are not all integrated at this point, so meaning your electronic medical record. We don't have visualization into these things sometimes, so bring your medication list, bring your past x-rays or, CAT scans or records, and we can review them. I think that's very helpful at times, especially if you haven't received care at the hospital that you're going to. It makes the emergency department team much more efficient if we have that information.
Absolutely. I remember when this was after that appendix situation, I decided to come here. I had cat scratch fever or something, and I came very late at night, and I drove myself here because I didn't think an emergency. And I do remember it being very efficient, and I got in there quite quickly. And I really, honestly, and I say this almost every conversation I have with the doctors here, I had the most incredible care, and I absolutely recommend this hospital. And way before I started doing the show, because I just was so grateful for the care received. I was really incredibly impressed with everything. So you running the emergency room in such a busy place, White Plains being as bustling as it is, that's quite something. And so thank you so much for what you do for our community, Dr. Torres.
Well, thank you.
It's much appreciated.
That means a lot to me and the team. You say that, or anybody is saying that to me when they come up to me on the street or at home, and I think it's important to hear that. And we want to make everybody's experience the one that you had when you come here to, came here to White Plains Hospital. I think that's important.
Absolutely. Thank you once again, Director of the Department of Emergency Medicine, actually the doctor who makes it all happen in the emergency room at White Plains Hospital, Dr. Rafael Torres. Great way to start off Health Talk this morning from White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith. Thank you so much, Dr. Torres.
Thank you.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
I was rehearsing for a dance and my knee just popped. Everyone around me, their faces just dropped.
At 15, Julia Oliveri suffered a painful knee injury while practicing for a dance competition.
I knew that it just wasn't right.
After surgery and a year of physical therapy, Julia still couldn't dance. That's when she went for a second opinion with Dr. Rick Weinstein at White Plains Hospital.
The MRI showed a tear in the cartilage. The tear was what was causing her problem.
He performed minimally invasive knee surgery.
Julia is an athlete. For her, the recovery is so important. And because it's such small incisions, the same day I have her up and walking.
Just 2 months later, Julia was back in the dance studio.
I was very impressed with White Plains Hospital. I could finally dance again and do what I love.
Expert orthopedic surgery helped this teen dance competitor get back on her toes. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Find your pain relief. Call 914-849-MYMD. That's 914-849-MYMD. A member of the Montefiore Health System.
White Plains Hospital Health Talk.
Here every day, right here on Westchester Talk Radio.
Hear from medical experts on current health trends and topics in the news.
You're listening to Health Talk from White Plains Hospital, and I'm Laura Smith. My guest right now is palliative medicine social worker Christine Coyne. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you so much.
So I've heard about social workers in healthcare, but do tell us your role here at White Plains Hospital as it relates to palliative medicine. I've never heard of the sort of the conjunction with that before.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm part of the palliative medicine team here at White Plains Hospital. I'm currently the only palliative social worker. My position was created about a year ago, so I've been here 1 year. And my role on the team is to support patients and families during serious illness here in the hospital. And we do also some advanced care planning for them once they leave the hospital as well. So we'll get consultations from doctors to help talk about what's going on with families and patients. We'll have family meetings. We'll meet with them one-on-one. We'll meet with them multiple times if we have to. And we kind of bridge the gap of understanding. And we help them just be successful in their healthcare going forward.
So palliative care or medicine is the sort of the management of pain. Am I correct?
Yep. So our team is expert at pain and symptom management with people with serious illness. Mm-hmm. Illness can strike at any time of our life. So we want to relate to people across the disease trajectory and across the lifespan.
And so as a social worker, what are you helping them kind of wade through the journey of that and how it affects their daily life? Give me a little bit of an overview of your role, your exact role.
Sure, absolutely. So my job is a lot of psychosocial support with patients. We make sure that they're adjusting well throughout their illness. Illness creates constant adjustment for people, whether that's physical, emotional, social. So my job is to really help them cope with that, whether it's depression, whether anxiety, whether it's finding meaning in their daily life because their quality of life is not so well right now. So it's really supporting them through that process. I do a lot of interventions with people about cognitive behavioral therapy and their thinking, as well as finding meaning when things are not going so well.
That's really important stuff. So what made you decide that, or what made you even know that you could become a palliative social worker? Is that something you can specifically study for, or did they just create this here at White Plains Hospital?
Mm-hmm. So every social worker who needs to be licensed in New York State has to get their master's in social work. I actually went on to then work at Montefiore, and I did a lot of work in oncology and cardiology there, which made a good foundation for me understanding a lot of the serious illnesses that we encounter here at the hospital. And I'm actually enrolled to take a postgraduate certificate at New York University next year in palliative and end-of-life social work. So there is additional training that social workers can obtain once they get their master's degree as well.
What fulfilling work, I can imagine. Really working with people as they're going through difficult times in their lives. They need as much hand-holding, I would imagine, and encouragement that you're able to provide. Mm-hmm. Christine, how does a palliative social worker help patients and families when they're going through these illnesses? So, like, what do you do? Do you encourage them with, is it just words or listening? Or what are some of the actual, you know, specifics that you do?
Yeah, so I think we do work on many different levels. Concretely, we also provide practical advice. A lot of people in these situations don't know what they don't know because they've never been through it before. Mm-hmm. So we've seen patients and families go through this over and over again. So we're able to provide practical advice for advanced care planning, whether that's planning for your home care, planning for your advanced directives, planning for just who's going to go food shopping for you after the hospital, little mm-hmm. practical things like that that not everybody thinks about. Then we also address address the emotional level of things. I do implement something called meaning-centered psychotherapy in my work with patients that I was trained at Sloan Kettering for. And it's really just to find meaning in our lives no matter what chaos is going on, that even in sad moments, that those could have the most meaningful experience and bring us together as a family and a patient as well.
That's really incredible. Gosh, I think that I just got goosebumps. I think that that's something that everybody could use, even if they're not like going through some traumatic health situation. That's really incredible. What types of therapeutic interventions are utilized with patients to support them through their, what are some of the actual, real serious things that you're able to help with?
Sure, absolutely. So I do a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy and help processing people and how they're thinking about their illness. A lot of people see things in black and white and good and bad. And if we look at the world that way, we're always coming up short. So we work on redoing and updating their thinking, if you would. I've also started using a virtual reality project here with patients who are experiencing end of life that we could transcend across environments, put on a little Google Cardboard headset with our phone and go to our favorite places in the world or our favorite places of home. So just kind of transcending through the bedside here at people who are maybe expending an experience end of life and can't always make it home.
That is incredible. Well, you do such meaningful work here, and I'm sure you're really affecting families and just individual lives on such a daily basis and a deep level. Thank you so much, Christine Coyne, again, palliative medicine social worker here at White Plains Hospital. Just another exceptional reason to choose this incredible hospital. I'm Laura Smith, and this is Health Talk.
I was doing dishes and I had this pain. I couldn't put my foot on the floor.
When even the smallest tasks became painful, Vivian Skroka's doctor told her she needed back surgery. Fortunately, Dr. Andrew Kasdan had just joined the team at White Plains Hospital.
Yes! I don't have to go into the city.
He and his partner, Dr. Jared Brandoff, began planning Vivian's spine surgery together.
We were able to use new, minimally invasive techniques, and she was back in full activities within 2 weeks.
She's very proud to say she walked 10 flights of steps today.
Now, Vivian can enjoy gardening and time with her grandkids again.
Oh my God, I don't have any pain. The care that I received was stellar. There was no place else that I would have gone.
Vivian's search for world-class spine surgery brought her back home. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Find your pain relief. Call 914-849-MYMD. That's 914-849-MYMD. A member of the Montefiore Health System.
Want to hear more from White Plains Hospital Health Talk?
Listen on demand at WPHospital.org and on Westchester Talk Radio every day at 3 p.m.
Hi there, I'm Laura Smith. Welcome to Health Talk, produced by White Plains Hospital. We're happy to be here today. My guest right now is the Director of Surgery and the Associate Medical Director, Surgical Services at White Plains Hospital. His name is Dr. Corey Weber. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Big, important role here. Wow. Head of surgery. That is a lot of, I would say, different types and departments and physicians and professionals you work with. We're very interested in hearing about your role here. So as the director of surgery at the hospital, tell us a little bit about surgery at White Plains Hospital and its history too. Interested to know.
So White Plains Hospital has a long history of providing outstanding surgical care to the community. Dates back decades, but more recently what comes to mind is what we've accomplished in both surgical oncology and minimally invasive surgery, specifically robotics. With regard to minimally invasive surgery, White Plains Hospital was the first to have a fellowship-trained minimally invasive surgeon whose sole focus is on providing care with what's called laparoscopy, which really improves patients' recovery time, decreases pain, improves cosmesis, and overall better outcomes. Dr. Philip Weber was the first fellowship-trained surgeon to be here, and since then, our capabilities in minimally invasive surgery has really skyrocketed. Hand in hand with that has been our growth in robotics. And under Dr. Seth Lerner and Dr. Herb Gretz, we really do provide surgical techniques to our patients. Dr. Lerner has been a real pioneer in robotic surgery with regard to prostate cancer and kidney cancer. And Dr. Herb Gretz has really been instrumental in providing the latest in surgical oncology for the gynecologic population. And together, other capabilities in thoracic surgery and beyond, our robotic program is probably one of the more complete robotic programs in the county. We have colorectal surgeons using the robot now, where their focus is on using this technology for the most challenging rectal cancers. And it's exciting, and around the corner is the American College of Surgeons is looking for centers of excellence to provide a level of care that all patients deserve. And it's our capabilities in this area and of rectal cancer that will allow us to be one of the earliest hospitals to participate in a center of excellence. We have a very strong surgical oncology program under the leadership of Dr. Mark Gordon, the first freestanding cancer center in Westchester County for many years. And that was really the base and the hub for all of the cancer work that we provide for the community. Under Dr. Gordon, our capabilities in surgical oncology really have expanded over the years. And I think the proof of that is our accreditation that we receive over the years from the American College of Surgeons and being recognized as a leader in cancer treatment. There are some exciting additions that have come and are now part of our cancer program. And this specifically relates to our relationship with the Montefiore Health System. Most recently, we acquired two new linear accelerators, advanced technology to treat cancer patients with radiation. But this is a really collaborative approach between our oncologists, our radiation oncologists, as well as our surgeons. And the latest advance that we'll be able to provide our patients is in something called stereotactic radiosurgery. And that requires the team that I just referred to. And we will be working with neurosurgeons from Montefiore to provide this level of care to our community, which really par with any cancer treatment for this population across the country.
So are there any other latest advancements in surgery that you're including here at the hospital?
So we recently, it's now been about a year, where we've worked a team around what's called hepatopancreaticobiliary surgery.
And my goodness.
The short on that is that it's liver surgery and pancreatic surgery. And we were fortunate enough to recruit a leader in hepatopancreatic biliary surgery, Dr. Sasan Royai, trained at some of the top programs in the country and was recently down in the city, but came up here to build a program. Part of that, he recognized that this was also a team approach and that it required additional expertise to help support the program. So along with Dr. Royai, recruited Dr. Jonathan Schwartz, who is a hepatologist who has an interest in liver cancer, and Dr. Mark Burstein, who is what's called an interventional oncologist, which is a subspecialty within radiology that allows us to treat tumors percutaneously or in a minimally invasive way. And together, the team really has elevated what we can provide the community in this area of cancer care.
So those are indeed advancements. And how about what you see coming for surgery in general and here specifically at White Plains Hospital?
So it really is an exciting time to be part of White Plains Hospital. As I mentioned, we've had a long history providing excellent surgical care, and that's really because the hospital has always supported its physicians with regard to providing the latest technology, instrumentation, and equipment. Most recently, we added five new operating rooms that allow us to provide really the latest technology for minimally invasive surgery and robotics. And what's coming in the future is the addition of what's called a hybrid operating room, which really takes advantage of real-time imaging, having a CT scan or an MRI in the operating room to allow us to take care of the most complex cases. And really, well, this has the most application, actually several areas, including surgical oncology, vascular surgery, but also cardiac surgery. And we're very excited, look forward to adding cardiac surgery to our our armamentarium of what we can provide from the surgical perspective, because as I mentioned, the department having that long history really does provide a real depth and breadth of surgical care, and that missing piece is cardiac. And we look forward to working in collaboration again with our partner, Montefiore, on building cardiac surgery here.
That's exciting. Dr. Weber, tell us a little bit about patient safety at White Plains Hospital.
So there's been a tremendous focus on quality and safety here at White Plains Hospital across the board. Specifically with regard to surgery, the department participates in what's known as the National Surgical Quality Improvement Program, also known as NISQIP. This is a program that focuses on quality and safety, and it's administered again by the American College of Surgeons. There are approximately 800 hospitals across the country participating. And I believe we're the only hospital in Westchester County. That is really our guiding light, where we are provided with the latest protocols, approach to surgery. It allows us to look at our own results here and compare them to other like-sized organizations and take that information back and improve what we are doing here. As part of the NISQIP program, we are also participating in an additional program called Improving Surgical Care and Recovery. Mm-hmm. And this is a study that originated out of Johns Hopkins, and the principal investigator now, I believe, is out in California, who was here about a year ago and gave us a presentation on her experience with this program. And we are one of the earliest hospitals in the country to participate. And the ISCR, as it's known, really focuses on a program called Enhanced Recovery After Surgery. Lots of acronyms. Mm-hmm. And Enhanced Recovery After Surgery is a program that looks at all aspects of care for the surgical patient, from the preoperative environment to the perioperative environment in the operating room, as well as postoperative care, both in the hospital and once they're home. And it's a comprehensive program that includes everyone who could possibly touch the patient, from the surgeon to the nurses to the technicians, and most importantly, the patient themselves. It really empowers the patient to help them minimize any problems or complications that could arise along the way. And we've now been participating in this program for well over 12 months, and we've seen some excellent results and look forward to continuing as a participating member in the ISCR.
Well, I personally had surgery here at White Plains Hospital, and it was truly a great experience, start to finish, and between the surgeon and then the wonderful nurses and the care, aftercare, really remarkable. And I recommend it to everyone, White Plains Hospital, because of the personal care that I got here. And this was way before I started doing this podcast. So it's an honor to be here and speaking with you today. Dr. Corey Weber, Director of Surgery and the Associate Medical Director, Surgical Services at White Plains Hospital. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And once again, we're grateful to Kate Lopez and the team here at White Plains Hospital. Also, Matthew Kyan, our producer of Health Talk. It's always a great day at White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark.